I think it was, I think we had a day and a half, like a full day, and then no, I think it was the day. I think it was the next day. Yeah, well, I did a photo shoot for basement that evening or that day, and then we had like people come over for Runza before we left, so the appointment was the 3rd. Mm-hmm. And then we got induced the 4th,
and then you came on the 5th.
Yeah,
at 2:22
p.m. Yeah.
So walk us through, like, what you felt when Lydia was like, what do you think about getting induced?
Well, I was, like, 40 weeks in a few days, so I was, like, pretty ready.
Yeah.
I was pretty uncomfortable. I was getting, like, a lot more pressure. And I always call them shocks. That's, like, the only way I can describe it. It's not a medical term, but I was very uncomfortable with those. And so I think we were both ready, though. Like, we were like, I don't want to wait any longer. Well, and the big thing that I think got me to, like, be ready to be induced, because that's something that I never really wanted to do. I wanted to go naturally. But I think the biggest thing was, like, she had said if I were to go 41 weeks, which, like, she can wait that long, the something with his heart, it could cause issues in the birth.
I think it'd be more pressure
on him. More stress, maybe, is what she said.
Yeah, more stress, more pressure on him if you waited longer, because there are some people that wait.
Yeah. And that's what I thought I was going to do. Like, I knew I was going to go longer because he's our first.
It's just wait until he's ready to come out.
Yeah, I wanted him to be the one to decide, forced out. But I think that was my big, like, once she said, if you wait longer, like, it could cause more stress on him. And so I think that's when we were like, okay, yeah, let's do it. So she left the room and we just, like, looked at each other. We're like, oh my gosh, we're going to have a baby, like, soon. I was thinking, like, a few days, maybe a week. But she came back and she was like, how about tomorrow night?
Yeah.
And I was like, holy cow, we're going to have a child, like, tomorrow or 2 days. Like, it was
starting the process of the stuff that lead to having birth tomorrow night. And then, who knows, as soon as we start that process, when you get there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, when I found out, I was like, pretty sure I was like, yeah, like, let's hurry up and get this guy out.
Yeah, because you didn't have to, like, go through the birth. You were just, I think you were just excited. I'm excited to, like, meet my son finally, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, see what he looks like. And
yeah. I think that was the biggest thing, is, like, seeing, like, how he looked. Because, I mean, as soon as he came out, like, I was, like, looking at his fingers and his toes, making sure he had all of them.
I looked at his hair. I was like, oh my gosh, he has hair. Well, he lost it all anyway, so it didn't matter. But, yeah, I think, but after we left, I feel like we came home and I started, like, cleaning. And I was, like, cleaning everything. And I was up on the stool, like, putting stuff away. And it was weird to, like, actually like, we'd been prepping for him to come for, you know, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, whatever it is. Yeah. But I feel like that night I was like, oh my gosh, there's gonna be a baby in our apartment. Like, are we settled? Or, like, are we good? Are we ready for that? And there was little things that I still wanted to do. Obviously, it wasn't gonna be like a magical place because we're still in an apartment, but I wanted it to feel as homey as it could and, like, feel clean postpartum, so I didn't have to, like, worry about all that. But I think it was funny because you took a picture of me standing on the bar stool, like, putting something. I don't even know what I was doing, but I went into, like, full nesting mom mode. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know what I cleaned. Like, there wasn't really anything to clean. It's not like we didn't need to baby proof, but I felt like I was starting to baby proof, even though, yeah.
Yeah, we should probably do more about baby-proofing now.
Well, yeah, now, but, like, now that he's mobile and doing
it. He's 15 months, so it's been a heck of a ride. Do you want to go into kind of what things happen with the birth? Or do you want to just kind of talk about how he's progressed since coming out of you?
I think both is fine. Like, I've talked to people about the birth story already. It's not... And when I tell people about the birth story, they're like, oh my gosh, that is so traumatic. But that's not how I view it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't view our birth story as traumatic. I think it's still beautiful because God's hedge of protection was fully around him the whole time. So I think we can kind of get into it. I mean, we went to the hospital at like 8 p.m. And well, after we had ate supper, and then we just kind of like hung out. It was kind of weird because they like gave me a pill to like soften my pelvic floor or whatever. And or cervix, and they're like, okay, take a nap, like relax. And I was like, this is not like the movies. This is weird. So we like slept for like almost all night. I felt like I didn't wake up like really in the middle of the night.
So we just back to the room, kind of got settled in there. They gave you a couple pills to take. You took them, took your heart medicine, and then we just kind of hung out. And then I think they came in and checked on you every couple hours.
And apparently I was having like contractions pretty close with that. And they were like, do you feel that? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, so no.
They hooked you up to like the monitors and everything. And like it would show that you'd have a contraction, but like you never felt the contraction. Or you didn't early know on. If you did.
Yeah, no, I don't remember any pain, like any discomfort or any pain up until like after the balloon. That was when it hit the fan. But they gave me like two or three cervix softening like pills, and those didn't really like do much. So then they started PIT, and PIT was hard for me.
What's PIT?
Pitocin. That like just kind of moves things along, like creates contractions to progress you. And that was when I started to feel pain. So like I guess my mom came at like 9 a.m. the next day. Yeah. So I would say that's when they started PIT, when she got there, is when they started it.
Yeah.
So I almost had like 10 hours of just rest, which was amazing because we didn't get much the next few days. But then I feel like once I started on Pitocin, it like really progressed, I feel like, pretty fast. Obviously, because he was born at 2. And they started at like 9:30. But with Pitocin, I only progressed to like, what, like a 3 or 4? And I kind of stalled out there.
I think the highest you got up to was 5.
But that was after.
Yeah, but that was like hour after, or like two hours after.
Yeah, and because I had laid back and like laid flat so long, I had a lot more back labor than like pelvic floor labor because I wasn't upright.
Yeah.
And so the only thing that like felt good was me like facing towards the bed and like you pressing on my hips. That's like the only relief that I got, which I think next time around I will deny the softening pills and just go to the PIT, because I feel like it wasted so much time.
Yeah,
not wasted time, but like
And I mean, after having a C-section, I mean, they told you that like your next child, it could either be a scheduled C-section or you could do things a natural way.
Yeah, because it wasn't my body that couldn't progress. Yeah. But so I was on Pitocin for a while. And then as things started to progress, I didn't dilate as much. So I was stuck at like a 3 just by myself with PIT. And then I was having a lot of pain. So they gave me fentanyl, which I reacted well to. But then it didn't take much of the pain away. It just like made me goofy, I guess.
Very goofy.
So I wanted to go like epidural free. Like, I held the birth experience like very open handed, like whatever God wanted. I just wanted a safe, healthy baby. And one of the things that I wanted to try was to see how far I could get without the epidural. So that's why I tried like the fentanyl. I didn't try laughing gas because I've heard that like makes you really sleepy unless you're like far into the experience. And I was only 3. So I didn't really want to do that. So the next thing that they tried to like progress me was the ballooning. And that I did without the epidural, which was so awful. Like that was the peak of my pain, truly. So they put... Should I explain what it does?
Good.
So yeah. They put a balloon inside of you, and on one side of the cervix, they blow up the balloon to like 5 centimeters or something. And then on the outside, they also blow that up. So it can kind of like slowly open your cervix wider.
Yeah.
And I was at a 3. And that got me to, I thought it was a 7, but it was a 5.
It only got you to a 5.
So I got to a 5, and that pain just from that, and I had the peanut in between my legs.
Peanut ball.
Yeah. In between my legs, and it was just, like, truly, like, I can remember it a little bit, but I feel like I'm slowly starting to forget the pain that I had during birth, which I think is good.
And not thinking of a peanut like this big.
It was like one of those, like, exercise ball peanuts, yeah.
And awkward. Because yeah. I tried putting it between my legs, and it was awkward for me.
Yeah, and it, like, hurt because I wanted to, like, protect because it hurt so bad. Like, my hips were hurting bad, too. So then I used that, and then progressed to 5. He started coming down a little bit.
Yep.
Well, but then his heart...
After the ballooning, and they kind of took a break. So then that's when I went down to get Subway because I haven't eaten all morning. And I was like, okay, well, this is going to be a little bit longer. Like, she just got to a 5. Needs to be to a 10. She's not really growing like the... Where, like, you want to go from that 5 to a 10, you're not really growing that, like, really by yourself that fast.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to have some time to go and get a quick bite to eat. So then I went down there, ate my sandwich,
was trying to go to
the bathroom, and then I got a call, and then...
So were you weren't up there when his heart, like, slowed down?
No.
So after the ballooning, he started coming down, which was a good sign, mm-hmm. but his heartbeat started, like, decreasing a little bit. It didn't stop or anything, but they could tell that he was under stress. And so that's when they checked me again, and I was still at a 5. And something about all the stations, you needed to be at, like, a station, like, 3 or 4, and I was at, like, -1. So he was sitting really high up, but I was dilated 5. So he needed to work his way down to, like, help dilate. Mm-hmm. But because he was under stress, they had asked if I wanted to do C-section now. Or Lydia was like, here's your options. We can continue with Pitt, up it. But because he showed stress with this last thing, we don't know if that's going to turn into an emergency C-section or, like, what that's going to look like. That's option 1. Option 2 is I just call Bursum and he just comes in. We do a C-section. We just call a high-risk doctor and he comes and takes the baby out. And I was kind of to the point... Well, no, not kind of. I was to the point where I'm in pain. I don't like that they just said my baby was under stress and his heart dipped.
Yeah.
Let's just do... I didn't know you weren't there for that decision. That's a huge decision.
Yeah. All drugged up, in pain, and you made that decision.
Well, I think I kind of came to when they were like, oh, his heartbeat slowed down. I was like, oh, no, I'm not messing with that. And I know you would probably have said the same.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to risk it. Like, let's do C-section. And so then they called the doctor. I truly didn't even notice. Like, I think I was in such a daze that I didn't even notice you weren't in the room. Until you came back in and I was like, wait, where did you go?
And by the time I came back in, we were getting the gown stuff on, and they were getting you prepped to go down and have a C-section.
Yeah. And so one of the interesting, I don't know if you, were you there when Laura was like, you're going with, like, to my mom?
I think I was getting my stuff on.
So our good friend Laura, she was in the room to take pictures. The doctor was like, only, like, one of you, either, obviously Tyler, you're gonna come, but, like, only either mom or Laura can come. Laura was like, are you kidding me? I'm not going, like, you're going, to my mom. And she started crying, and she was like, I'm just so thankful, like, I don't want to miss this. And so that was pretty special to have that, yeah, too. So she came and took pictures, and it was, mm-hmm, it was great.
Yeah, she was pretty much, like, the first one to actually see Cashin when
yeah,
he was born, which
yeah,
was very special.
That was cool. But yeah, so we went back to get the C-section, and I don't really remember a lot of it. I feel like the only thing I really remember is I didn't have to move. Did I move beds? No. Oh, I forgot about the epidural. You were in the room.
Yeah.
So after the ballooning, I was like, I'm done with this pain. I need the epidural. So everyone else had to leave. You stayed and sat by Lydia. Lydia had to hold me. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I had to hold her. You had to sit in a chair. And then I got, like, the epidural or whatever. And it was, I, like, felt tingling down my left side. But my right side went numb, like, instantly. And I think that's when I started to, or they knew that it was going to take a little bit longer to progress. And so I think that's when you went down.
Yep,
after. And then that's when, now we're all caught up to, like, where we're at. I yeah. forgot about that.
Yeah.
But they did the epidural not like the drip way. They did it where it was like a spinal block, basically. Because I couldn't feel anything. So I don't know if they did it wrong or if that's how they were supposed to do it, but it turned out to be good.
They did it wrong for what you were going to originally try to do, is just having like natural. But they did it right for the C-section, so then they didn't have to end up doing like another one.
Yeah, which was a crazy thing too.
I don't remember which one it was.
Well, it was crazy too because I wanted like the lowest dose of epidural that you could get, and that was in our birth plan, so everybody knew that. So the fact that like somehow that got lost in translation, and it like God went before us again, so that I didn't have to have another shot. Because when I got back to get the C-section, I remember being pretty much completely numb. Did I have to move beds?
Yes.
I don't remember doing that.
They moved you onto the operating table.
Yeah.
And then they already had like the curtain, so you couldn't see what they were doing. And then they just had these tubes to suck some stuff up.
Yeah.
Which ran right in between my legs so I could see it.
Yeah.
Wasn't fond of that sight, but it was fine.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I remember from the C-section, though, I heard the doctor talking to his student. And I had said, like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care if a student's... I never care if there's a student in the room. Maybe I should have a little bit more with the C-section, but... No. He was, like, telling her, he was like, you have to use this knife until it's dull. And I looked at Tyler and I was like, you have to talk to me or something, like play music. Did they play music?
No.
They were supposed to, but that's okay.
I think they had it going in the background, but it wasn't very loud. So, I mean, probably should have brought in your AirPods.
It's fine. But then you like were talking to me and stuff. And it was like, we probably went back at like 2:20 and he was born at 2:23. Like it did not take long.
No, he was born at 2:22.
Okay.
They said he was born at 2:24, but it was 2:22 because I checked.
They said 2:23.
Oh, well, it's still 2:22.
Okay.
Because I checked, and I told them before they wrote on the birth certificate, but then they still put 2:23.
You men and your time of your kids being born is hilarious to me.
Okay, but like our next one, if it's 11:59 p.m., let's say it's March 7th, because that's my birthday, and he comes out right at 11:59 p.m., I'd want him to be born on the same day I am. Not the 8th. If they're like, oh, it's actually March 8th at midnight, I'd be like, no, it's not. He's born on March 7th.
Well, that's an example.
Yeah, that's an example.
But yeah.
So now we got, from the point where we found out, kind of what we did before going to the hospital, what we did at the hospital up until your C-section, what would you look at when you could first see him?
His hair? Yeah.
Make sure he had some hair.
Well, and he had like, because he had started coming out a little bit of the through the cervix. So he had a cute little like bump on his head, but he had hair. That's what I remember. Yeah. I remember you said, oh, he has 10 toes and 10 fingers.
And then I saw the bump on his head. And I was like, oh, hopefully that gets fixed.
Yeah. Put a hat on. But I think I remember he needed to have a little bit of oxygen, didn't he?
Yeah. Oxygen and then...
We forgot the biggest part about his cord.
Yeah. So he just needed oxygen and then stuff sucked out. And then he pooped on the...
Oh, yeah.
Where they weigh him. He pooped all over that. Yeah. So good thing he didn't do that when he was still inside you.
Some, they do.
Yeah, I know.
Which is disgusting.
Yeah, which that was probably what was going through the tube.
Oh, probably. Yeah. But, so before they, like, took him out and everything like that, they figured out, or they saw that his cord was actually wrapped twice around his neck. So the first one was wrapped so tight they had to cut him in the womb. Mm-hmm. And then the second one was kind of like a satchel, so it was around his neck and then under his armpit. Mm-hmm. And so with that, he obviously had a lot of stress trying to drop because the cord, yeah, you couldn't. So that was another like crazy like thing. Like if I would have decided, no, I'm going to continue with Pitt and try, like who knows what would have happened, yeah, with that. So that was crazy to like hear. And it's crazy that that's what happened because they didn't even react in a way that was like, oh my gosh, his cord is wrapped. Like I didn't hear that. Yeah. Until we got back to the room. And they were like, by the way, did you know that his cord was wrapped? And I was like, what? Yeah. Like, they didn't... I don't know if they said anything. Mm-mm. My mom, I think, knew. Lydia obviously knew, but...
Yeah.
Like, they didn't tell us. Until...
I don't know if your mom knew.
Well, she saw him, didn't she?
She was like... I don't think that's what she was looking at. Because, well, I mean, she took a picture of, like, you being opened...
No, that was Lydia.
Oh, yeah, Lydia did that. So I think your mom had to stay, like...
You're right. I don't think she could have stayed. I don't think she could see. No. I think they asked if you wanted to, didn't they?
No.
Oh.
No, they told me just to sit there and talk to you.
I wonder if you were like, can I see, if they would have let you.
Probably, but I don't think I want to see all that.
Yeah, the picture is kind of gross.
Yeah. It was interesting, but also, I'd rather... stay awake than pass out.
You think you would have passed out? Yeah. How do you think you would have done if, like, it was natural and you saw that? Or would that be different because you don't see the insides?
Probably would have been different because I don't see, like, all your muscles, your guts, and all that stuff. So it probably would have been different.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that... I made you yawn. Yeah. I'm glad that Lydia got that picture, though, because that was kind of cool to be able, yeah, to see. And you can see... like the cord around his neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that picture. But then they brought him over. They cleaned him up. They brought him over to us.
Wrapped him up pretty tight.
And all he was doing was...
Yeah, he's got this crazy obsession with his tongue.
Still.
Still. Yeah. It's just nonstop.
It's so funny. It's just hilarious that that's like the first thing he... I guess that's like the second thing I noticed that he was doing. Like his tongue was always out. And I'm like, is he hungry already? And the nurse was like, no, honey. He doesn't know that yet. But
yeah.
But yeah, that was...
So we got all through like the birth. How did you feel once everyone left?
We had a lot of visitors.
We were by ourselves.
Yeah, we did have a lot of visitors. I think it was weird. It was like a surreal, like, well, we have a child. And it was kind of like, what do we do? Like, I remember they all left. You were holding him, mm-hmm, by the door. And the door shuts. And we just kind of look at each other like, well, now. I think you literally said, now what? And I'm like, I don't know. It's my first time too. I have no idea. Our nurses, yeah, that we had were so great though. Like, I loved every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were all great.
I think it was night two that he got his first bath. Because it wasn't that same night, was it?
Yeah, it was like night two.
And he slept so well. Like, it was kind of weird because I feel like I wasn't tired when he was a newborn. But like now if he wakes up in the middle of the night, I'm like, dude, I can't.
Are you talking about, like, once we actually got him home?
No, in the hospital still.
In the hospital? Oh.
I feel like the nurses took care of him, though, a lot.
Yeah, they came in and fed him during the night so we could sleep. When he was breathing weird or, like, just taking a breath, like, I woke up. When he moved, I woke up.
Yeah.
When he made a little... screech, I woke up. So, like, I didn't sleep very well.
The newborn sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I was used to it because I had watched so many newborns that I knew, like, that's just kind of what they did. Yeah. And I was also very exhausted coming down on off of all those medications that I had. So mm-hmm. I think when we were at Bergen, I don't remember really much of the healing there because we were there for 2 days. And then we got transferred to Children's.
Yeah, because he does have the long QT. Mm-hmm. So the elongative QT interval. I'm pretty good at this stuff because I'm smart.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I learn. I learn things. Which isn't as bad as yours.
True, yeah.
Which is great. I mean, even if it was as bad as yours, like, we'd be prepared for it because you went through your whole life with it.
Yeah.
And if he didn't have it, that'd be great because I went through my whole life not having it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we were prepared. We were more like, it's a guarantee that he's going to have it.
It's like, a 50-50.
With, like, all of our kids, we're going to be like, okay, they're going to have it.
Yeah.
So we just need to be prepared for that. What I wasn't prepared for was staying so long in a hospital.
How long did we stay at Children's?
So he was born on Friday. So we were in a hospital Thursday night.
That was Bergen.
Friday.
That was Bergen.
Saturday.
Oh, wait, no, you're talking induction. Like, we were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Bergen.
No. We...
Thursday night.
We were there Thursday night.
When we got induced.
Friday he was born.
Yep.
Saturday.
And then they transferred.
Saturday is pretty... I'm pretty sure we got transferred to Children's. So we got Children's Sunday, Monday, and then we finally left Tuesday.
Yeah, there was a huge snowstorm coming in. We wanted to leave before then. The reason we went to Children's was so that he could get monitored on the medication to make sure it's taking care of the QT interval. And they have to monitor that for, I think, a minimum of 2 days. So we were at Bergen, because I remember I breastfed for 2 days. So it was the 5th and the 6th, and then we got transferred the 7th. And then stayed 8th, and then came home 9th, I think.
Yeah, it was like midday.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But he was healthy. He reacted great. And when we were at Children's, that's when I think I started not feeling well at all. Like with the headaches and...
Because you had pretty good headaches. And then just like all...
All the hormonal shift.
Yeah.
But also then trying to figure out, okay, I can't breastfeed.
Yeah.
I should have...
Won't have like that contact that a mother really wants with her newborn baby.
Yeah. But our bond is just as special as I feel like even if we did breastfeed, it would be the same. So it was one of the biggest things that I wanted to do. I think that's what is special about, like,
pretend to do it.
The way that we kind of had to go with feedings. It was, like, kind of nice because you could feed, like, you could feed him too.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, me doing, it sounds bad, but, like, me doing all that on top of, like, trying to heal myself.
At least for, like, that first, like, window, because I feel like that's probably more, like, when the mom does it.
Yeah.
It's, like, the first... week to 2 weeks is probably when the mom does it more, just so they don't have to pump a bunch of milk out.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I could be wrong.
I think most of the time it's until either they go back to work or they want a little bit more of that freedom from having to breastfeed each feed.
Yeah.
Obviously, me not being able to breastfeed my first, I'm going to want to breastfeed as much as I can, like, nurse. But if that baby doesn't prefer me versus a bottle, that's fine too. Obviously, I've done bottles too, so.
Which I'll mean, just how need Cashin to. Was with bottles, I think he probably would have kicked you to the curb.
He's obsessed with them, yeah. And he never really did great nursing, so.
Yeah.
I mean, he was only 2 days old, but he never did love it, so. Yeah. My healing process was like, I think it was harder than I thought it was going to be. The headaches, I had headaches for like 5 days, I feel like, after. And they said that could have been the epidural, but it also could have been how, like, tense I was. And then drying up my milk, it didn't fully come in, so it was like that was good, but it was still like kind of more emotional than physically like hard because I really wanted to breastfeed. But and then I think like the C-section incision, I mean, I've had heart surgery, so the incision not so bad, but it was more like the numbness and the pain that I had. And I had to heal vaginally too.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah, you got both.
Yeah.
Both that you had to recover from.
Yeah. But I would say, looking back, it was obviously, I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah. I think it's just perfect. I mean, yeah. As perfect as you can go with all the hoops.
And no birth story. I mean, some people I feel like put out their birth stories and maybe fabricate them a little bit to make them feel like this is the most beautiful experience like that I've ever had. And who knows, maybe that is truly how their birth story was, but I feel like it's a natural thing to have little like hiccups or like bumps in the road.
Yeah.
Because it's a hard thing to do to birth a child.
Yeah. I mean, even like a vending machine, like whatever you're trying to get out of the vending machine gets stuck. So you have to open the door like a C-section.
You're hilarious.
I try to be. But, I mean, most of the time, that vending machine's going to work perfectly. Or something happens where it gets clogged up in the process, and then something happens, and then you have to remove the drink.
I love that you're referring birth to a vending machine.
Obviously, it doesn't hurt the vending machine as much as it hurts a woman.
Right. So why are you comparing the two?
I just, you know, think about birth like a vending machine like I do.
Only you. That's so interesting.
But it's pretty true.
I don't think I've ever had to, like, cut a vending machine open and grab something huge out of it that was, like, 6 pounds.
I'm not saying it's going to be 6 pounds. I mean, a bag of chips doesn't weigh very much. But some people do, like, smash a vending machine with a big old brick.
Okay,
so you might have to grab the brick out of the vending machine.
Okay, let's segue into something else because that's just weird. That's hilarious how your mind works. Weird,
but
very different.
Yeah. It's a different perspective.
Yeah. Not bad. Not better. Just different.
Just different. Just built different.
Oh my God.
Like how Cashin is built different.
He is.
Do you want to talk about what it was like when your mom went back? And I went back to work.
Oh, it was awful.
First day. When I went back to work, my first day.
Well, when you went back to work your first day, mom was still here.
Okay, when both of us were gone.
So once she...
First day alone with Cashin and Archer.
I think I was very emotional. I don't think I had postpartum depression. Like, I don't think it was that. I think it was more like maybe baby blues is what somebody says. Like, it wasn't full-on depression. Like, I wasn't, like, stuck in bed. I just knew I needed somebody around me. So I spent a lot of time with Laura.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of my distraction. But I remember like the first day just kind of feeling like, okay, I want to feel like myself. So I want to like go out and do something. But I also knew that like you're still healing from a surgery. You need to lay low. Like kind of thing. It was hard, but I obviously like made it through, and I think I like kind of set my schedule up to like be doing something. Like even though it was January, I wanted to like go on morning little walks and do little things to like kind of get back to the norm. We went to the chiropractor a lot, which obviously helped him and me, but also I think just like kind of get a schedule kind of set. I think I'll do a lot of things differently next time because I'll know what I'm doing more, you know? Like, I didn't really know, even though I'd watched so many, like, babies.
Two rather than just one.
Yeah. Which, that kind of freaks me out. I'll be outnumbered. Yeah. But I know that Cashin will be more independent by then. What about, like, you? How was leaving for the first time?
I mean, it was a little difficult, but, I mean, I think it's more difficult now than it was before.
Really?
Because he, like, actually picks up on us leaving. So it'll probably be more difficult now. And since I haven't worked for 2 months because of my shoulder surgery, I mean, spending all this time with you, Archer, and him, like, it's gonna be probably miserable going back. I mean, when he was a newborn, like, it was somewhat easier because he didn't know I was leaving. He didn't know I was there.
Yeah. I felt like you didn't love... Okay, I'll be honest. I don't love the newborn stage. I think it's because he wasn't on a schedule. But I've just never... I love the year, like, 12 months and on. Mm-hmm. Like, that is my favorite because they're becoming their own child, like, their own person. Their little personalities are coming out.
Oh, yeah.
All that. When they're a newborn, it's... They're so cute. I love it, but it's a harder stage for me. Our kids and others.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like... And I honestly started... Well, and I went back to work early, thinking that I was, like, gonna be fine doing that.
Yeah.
Because it was, he was 2.5 months, and I was like, I need to, like, do something else. But then he started progressing and, you know, growing into his own little person, and by 4 months, I was back home with him.
Yeah.
So.
Which is crazy. I mean, you see a lot of people who... are, like, happy to go back to work.
Because I think there's certain, like, people, like, types of humans that need something outside of their children to make them be better parents. And I totally get that. Like,
yeah.
I still work from home, and I feel like if I didn't have a creative outlet to just do either photography or marketing, whatever that looks like, I wouldn't be able to just be a full time, not doing anything on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would get very mundane, I feel like, for me.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you have to have your time away from the house to be, like, when you come back, you're better?
I think most days, yes. Just because, like, how it is now... It's like, I'm mainly watching Cashin during the day. And if I do that every single day, then it gets pretty exhausting. Just because, like, you're on top of waking him up.
Mm-hmm.
You're on top of feeding him. You're on top of changing him. You're in charge of watching him when he's playing so he doesn't pull something on top of him.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't get on top of here and try to somersault off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, or what I could also do is kind of like what I did a little bit is put him in the car with me, and then we go and drive around the lake, and then sometimes he takes a nap.
That way you, then, like, have something fun for you, and then...
I mean, I've never liked just being inside very much. I would rather, like, when it's nice outside, go outside, like, just be outside somewhere.
Yeah.
The hardest season for me, like, mentally, is, like, the winter.
I love winter.
Just because, like, it gets dark earlier, it's always dark.
I think that's almost, like, everyone, right? Like,
yeah, it's a lot of people.
It's like human nature to want to be outside. Like, that's how we were made.
Yeah.
And to be in community, right? Like, I can tell that I'm in a better mood if I, like, on days or weeks that we hang out with people more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I feel like this week we've kind of been low-key inside doing most of the stuff, like, by ourselves. But I'm sure when we go back to Easter, for Easter, like, I'll be in a better mood leaving there. Because we've been around. We're very thankful for Cashin's birth experience.